KTAR News on 92.3 FM. Get some perspective. Bruce St. James and Pamela Hughes.
We've seen them around here more than many other communities. If you didn't know, the Valley is a testing hotbed for autonomous vehicles, self-driving vehicles. We've had fits and starts. We've had ups and downs. And we're now hearing from the Insurance Institute for Highway Safety, people that literally have dollars on the line about this, about just how safe and I would say how ready are we for self-driving cars.
And we've had some pretty high-profile incidents right here in the Valley because the Valley has a lot of these self-driving cars. In fact, it was Governor Ducey late in 2016 that really wooed Uber to come to the Valley, inviting them to enjoy the state's lack of regulation because we do not regulate
come on down.
These companies in the state of Arizona like others do. California has more regulations. And I'm not going to sit here and tell you I understand the differences between them two. But what I do get is that California requires these companies to at least report some data, right? So that we know, or at least, you know, Californians know how these kind of self-driving cars are doing on the roads. I like that idea. Just giving us some information.
Some transparency.
Yeah, because again, they're on our roads and I'd like to know how they're doing. Granted, I am still of the belief that they're probably doing better than everybody I pass on my way into work from Gilbert this morning. Well, so, but I just don't like the, well, why can't you tell me what's going on?
Yeah. And so I will grant you that I think there's a certain amount of, you're right. We need to have a reckoning, if you will. There needs to be a lot more transparency so the public knows what they're getting into. Here's one of the things that I kind of take from this. Well, they take a look at, you know, incidents per mile driven and things like this. Are we grading autonomous cars on a tougher scale than we grade, oh, I don't know, you?
Me?
Anybody out there.
Oh,
you're
okay.
Miles driven. You're incident-free. You're obeying the speed limit, stopping at red lights. Do you see what I'm saying? Is the expectation that self-driving vehicles are going to be perfect, meanwhile the rest of us drive like it's a NASCAR weekend?
Yeah, you know what? I get the point that you're making, but this is also new technology, and once the tube is out of the toothpaste, it's really hard to... Once the toothpaste is out of the tube, wow, it's really hard to get it back in. So I don't have any problem with like scrutinizing it right now because I think it's going to be much harder to do later. But I get the point. I get the point that you're making. One of the reasons why self-driving cars have become quite popular and the technology is advancing so quickly is because the most dangerous thing you are going to do today is get behind the wheel of the car or even get in a car.
Yeah.
Because we people make a lot of mistakes. We get distracted. It's human error that causes a lot of these accidents. You're going to see there's going to be mechanical error. There's going to be technological error. There's going to be problems with this kind of machinery. It's just, what are we willing to accept? And I think that right now, the idea is we're not going to accept anything less than perfect. And that seems to be a very big obstacle. Yeah,
that's
absolutely
a really high bar.
Absolutely.
When you know there's not one of you out there, myself included, that is a perfect driver. We make mistakes behind the wheel. What I have seen, and again, here's part of the difficulty. You just said the transparency. There are different technologies that are being used by these companies to develop a self-driving vehicle. Some are better than others. It's kind of like a VHS or Betamax. I don't know, cassettes or CD players. Like, there's different technologies out there, and in some ways they're competing. I would hope that at some point we have a agreed upon, acknowledged, this is the best, and by best I would say safest version of it. And how soon can we get to that so that we're not still having the dueling banjos of competing, especially with not being able to see all of the results in real time, that we don't know which the safer one is.
Yeah.
We do in California because of some of the regulations they set up. In Arizona, we don't know.
Yeah, and that's just where it comes to me as far as that transparency is concerned. So when the Institute, the Insurance Institute for Highway Safety, did this study, it's a five-part study. It's been released this week, and we obviously have a lot of interest in it, given the amount of self-driving cars on Arizona, and especially Valley streets. What they found were this. There's some good things here, right? Positive results were seen in systems like adaptive cruise control, which allows cars to be programmed to follow other cars at a certain distance and brake to maintain that distance. Now, most of the time, systems worked well and were likely to reduce accidents over the long term. On the other hand, the systems occasionally don't work as planned, showing the absolute need for an attentive driver who isn't relying fully on such systems. What they found out is the variety of different cars, because they tried out all these different makes and models of cars, right? And they put them through 18 different trials. The Mercedes E-Class stayed in its lane 15 of 18 trials. Staying from a lane, straying from the lane even once, though, they say could lead to a serious crash.
Of course it could.
So 15 of 18 trials. Are we expecting 18 out of 18?
Again,
what would we accept?
What is it? I'm going to screw up the thing. Don't let perfection be the enemy of progress.
Let's go with that. Just go with it.
Does it sound good?
That sounds good.
If not,
keep,
I would like to hashtag.
Keep going.
I would like to brand that, and I want it on T-shirts. But I continue to see, and the things that I've seen from autonomous vehicles, the complaints about them are that they don't drive as bad as we do, that they actually follow things like speed limits. They actually stop at yellow and red lights. They actually come to a complete stop before turning red. Do you know what I'm saying? And the incidents, the majority of incidents involving autonomous vehicles have been the fault of a human driver running into the autonomous vehicle, which was doing the right thing.
Yeah, but you know what? We also don't know a lot about these vehicles. How many times Waymo has had to intervene on Valley streets? Why? Because they don't have to tell us, and they're not telling us. So how many of the miles that they're driving are truly self-driving, and how many times has the driver behind the wheel had to intervene? And I believe that there are several vehicles on Valley roads that don't have the driver behind the wheel. How are they doing? I'm not saying you can't do it. I'm not saying putting regulations into limiting it. I'm just saying, let us know how it's going. I think we have a right to know.
And along with that, though, and it seems like they're almost afraid to tell us.
That's the, like, what are you hiding?
Do you get that sense? Like, they're a little afraid to tell us. And yeah, my whole thing is, hey, let us make the decisions. We're smart enough. I promise. We're good people. We understand basically what we're doing here. Let us know. And we can make intelligent decisions.
And those intelligent decisions are going to have to start being made, because Waymo is saying that they're going to launch a fully driverless ride hailing service here in the Valley no later than the end of December.
Really?
So driverless Uber. It's not an Uber. It's a Waymo. But, I know. I'm kind of like conflating
right.
a couple different things there. Even if you're sitting in your car right now behind the wheel driving yourself, and I would never get behind. I would never get into one of those. Fair enough. You don't have to. You get to make that choice. But do you get a choice as to whether or not those vehicles are around you? No.
What does it say about me? What does it say about me and my belief in technology as the person with a bunch of Alexas? Alexa, play KTAR. There's a bunch of Alexas around the house. I trust the self-driving vehicle more than I do Sally texting and eating a hamburger while she's driving down the 51.
Why are you going to pick on Sally?
Because I've seen Sally drive before, and it's terrifying. It's terrifying.
There's a place for this kind of technology, and I'm open to it. In fact, I think that it could really revolutionize traffic fatalities and cut down on them. But let's put the work in on the front end. Let's not rush it. Let's fix as many of the variables as we possibly can beforehand. There's always going to... Listen, somebody is going to die. People are going to die in self-driving cars.
Agreed.
Unfortunately.
Sadly.
It is going to happen.
Correct.
It happens every day on roads all across this country by fault of people. If we can cut down the amount, I'm all for it. But let's do it in a smart way, and let's also do it in a way where people have the information so that we are informed and we're also holding these companies accountable.
I don't think you're out of line with that. No, seriously, I don't think you're out of line with that. But it appears that in the race for the best technology, in the race
to be first,
yeah, to perfect it, they're holding the technology very close to the vest. They're afraid to let too much information go because they think that's some sort of a competitive advantage for somebody else. And should we, the people, know more about what's going on with that? An interesting court win. All right, this has to do with Monsanto, the Roundup weed killer, and it may just open the floodgates.
Bruce St. James and Pamela Hughes.
You know, there's been a social media outcry against Monsanto. There were these I would call them, you know, boycott Monsanto, don't buy Roundup. You could go into a hardware store, and you can purchase this product, Roundup.
Oh, sure.
And you could spray it around your house to kill weeds.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
It's a weed killer, mm-hmm, right? But the concern has been, and at least if I'm reading between the lines, the allegations are that Monsanto, the parent company, knew Roundup was super good at killing weeds, but it also might hurt humans, and that they buried that information because they're in the business of selling weed killer.
Yeah, so there is a court case that just wrapped up recently in California, which has a lot of eyes on it, because Dwayne Johnson is a groundskeeper for a school district near San Francisco, and so he was responsible for keeping the grounds looking good. Mm-hmm. He applied Roundup weed killer, he said, between 20 and 30 times a year while working at his job. There were a couple of instances where the hoses, because, I mean, we've seen them, you probably have seen them around your HOA, too. They're like the little golf carts that have the big tank on the back of them, and they got the hose coming on, and they just spray, right?
Right, okay? That's what they do.
They're not all carrying, you know, Roundup, but a lot of them are, because this is the big dog in this industry. Well, Dwayne said that there was one time where the hose came off, and the Roundup was sprayed all over his hands.
Ooh.
He not immediately, but got lesions and blisters all over his hands.
I actually saw a picture of this.
It's grotesque.
One of those things like people put on Facebook, you're like, ooh,
whoa,
I don't want to see that.
And he contacted the company to see if there were any health concerns beyond the blistering and lesions. Like, mm-hmm, was there anything else that was going to impact his body? And they said, no, that it's safe and, you know, just get those burns and stuff treated.
Concern yourself not.
That there were also instances where he was spraying the chemical, and because of the wind, can't control the wind.
No.
He was inhaling a lot of it, and it was also getting on his skin.
Okay.
And after doing this 20 to 30 times a year for several years, he developed non-Hodgkin's lymphoma.
Okay.
And he claims that Roundup caused it. They went to trial. A lot of people watching this case, because these allegations have been around for a long time, and there have been several people that have been waiting to sue. Here's what happened.
Dwayne Johnson, plaintiff versus Monsanto Company.
A jury finding Monsanto knew about the health hazards of its Roundup weed killer when it was used by 37-year-old Dwayne Johnson. Johnson, diagnosed with non-Hodgkin's lymphoma after spraying Roundup weed killer for 2.5 years, and sued the company.
Was the Roundup Pro or Ranger Pro design a substantial factor in causing harm to Mr. Johnson? Answer, yes.
The jury recommending Monsanto pay Johnson over $289 million in total.
Whoosh.
Yeah.
Now, the concern is that Mr. Johnson was one of roughly 4,000 different people who have made some sort of allegation or claim against Monsanto and their Roundup weed killer product. And does this ruling show you've got a case?
I think it does.
And is this, some people are drawing the parallel, and I think there's a solid argument to be made here between what Monsanto did with Roundup and what the tobacco industry did with cigarettes?
You say Monsanto and you say the tobacco company, but a lot of it is the both of those entities have been relying on some research, some studies, and I would just argue that some of those research and studies are faulty.
Well, they look at the ones that show them in the best light.
Correct.
And I then mean, they hold that up as an
when
example.
When you look at some of the studies from tobacco, like big tobacco and the association between smoking and lung cancer, well, you know what? There were experiments done on rats, smoking rats. Guess what? They didn't get lung cancer.
Can we just get into why are rats picking up smoking?
Right, exactly.
You guys, seriously.
Well, they only do it when they're drinking.
Better hop. Cheese is a better solution than smoking. You rats.
And big tobacco would go forward with the mantra of association is not causation, and they avoided a lot of regulation because of that. But eventually, Bruce, there were way too many studies that accumulated to the point where that association was overwhelming, and the cause and effect couldn't be denied. And that, I think, is what we are seeing with Monsanto right now in Roundup Weed Killer. And you just got to be aware of this stuff. I mean, this is happening in San Francisco. And while you may not be a groundskeeper at a school or working for a landscaping company, and I know that there are a lot of people who work in landscaping companies that do listen, but these kinds of chemicals are being sprayed in your neighborhood. They're being, you might even have it in your garage right now. You know what
saying,
I mean?
Just saying.
So you have to be aware of this stuff. And just because, you know what, some studies say that the active ingredient, you know, is safe, you got to look at some of like the anecdotal stories.
Cigarettes were health food at one point.
Yeah.
Are we going to find the same thing out about Roundup, that not only is it dangerous on some level, but that they knew it was dangerous for quite some time?
And pro tip for people out there, instead of using Roundup, use vinegar.
So don't use diesel fuel, like Dathan said. Don't pour diesel fuel on the ground.
Will kill.
I think it's against law. Vinegar will.
Vinegar, yeah. That's what we use around our house.
Really?
Works wonderful.
I did not know that. I don't think I have a lot of weeds, though. I got a lot of brick, concrete, paving stones. I don't have to worry about this stuff. So we've now heard the tapes, the secret tapes that Omarosa has of people inside the White House, including the president. We'll play them for you next on Arizona's News Station.
Get some perspective. Bruce St. James and Pamela Hughes. KTAR News on 92.3 FM.
Oh, Lordy, I hope they're tapes. There appear to be tapes. In an ongoing reality show soap opera inside the White House, nobody trusts anybody. Everybody is out for themselves, and the backstabbing has reached Olympic proportions. Dare I put forth as Exhibit A, B, and C, Omarosa, who has a new book out claiming a variety of things. God only knows what's true, but there is some truth behind the audio recordings she's made of Chief of Staff Kelly and Donald Trump.
Let's start with Chief of Staff Kelly.
Yeah, I mean, there's no disputing what's on the tape. It is obviously them, right? This isn't me.
Let's go to the tape. Want to go to the tape?
To the videotape.
Let's go to the tape.
Right.
This is a recording that Omarosa reportedly made inside the Situation Room at the White House. This is General John Kelly, Chief of Staff, pulling her into that room and letting her know, you're fired.
Oh.
Let's go to the tape.
We've got to talk to you about leaving the White House. It's come to my attention over the last few months that there's been some pretty, in my opinion, significant integrity issues.
Okay, so there are some integrity issues?
Yeah.
It continues.
Does the president, is the president aware of this?
Let's not go down the road. This is a non-negotiable discussion.
I don't want to negotiate. I've never had a chance to talk to you, General Kelly.
Yeah,
so if this is my departure, I'd like to have at least an opportunity to understand.
We can talk another time. This has to do with some pretty serious integrity violations. So I'll let it go with that. So the staff and everyone on the staff works for me, not the president.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Kelly reportedly tells Omarosa that his concerns involve the use of government vehicles, some other issues, and adds there's some money issues and other things. But from my view, the integrity issues are very serious.
Whoa.
So Omarosa taped the chief of staff in a situation room. Is there anything legally wrong with that? I don't think that there's. You hear people talk about, well, you're not supposed to tape things in the situation room.
I've heard
that. How did she get a recorder? Well, you know what? They weren't talking about anything classified, so I don't think as though any laws were broken.
There was judgment. She was being fired. Yeah. It was an exit interview. They weren't talking Iran nuclear policy like right. in the corner while she was there.
And we've been told, it's been reported that after that happened, she tried to storm the residence and talk to the president himself.
She said on Meet the Press, that's redonkulous. That
oh, really?
Never happened.
Okay.
She well, said never happened.
Here's
and
the
she
deal.
Felt the need, honestly, I watched the whole interview. She felt the need to defend herself because she said none of those things happened and that it was mischaracterized how she dealt with it.
You know what?
I don't know to believe her or not.
Omarosa is a liar. She's always been a liar. She's a villain. She is an she looks for the opportunity in situations. Mm-hmm. So I don't believe anything she says. I think it's fascinating.
That's always a solid way to start, though, with her.
I find the recordings fascinating, while odd that, you know, she felt the need that she had to do this, because it wasn't just John Kelly she recorded.
No.
She claims that the next day, that what you're about to hear took place the following day from when she was fired from the White House.
Oh, okay.
Phone rings. It's President of the United States.
Ooh.
She recorded that one,
Hello,
too.
Hello, President.
Marosa, what's going on? I just saw on the news that you're thinking about leaving. What happened?
General Kelly came to me and said that you guys wanted me to leave.
No, I nobody even told me about it. Nobody.
Wow.
You know, they run a big operation, but I didn't know it. I didn't know that. Damn it. I don't love you leaving at all.
I don't love you leaving at all. That is a country music song title if ever I have heard one. I don't love you leaving at all.
I also love the fact that he found out.
I don't love you leaving at all. I think
we're
onto something.
You want to continue? What
no,
else would
that's
that
all
be?
I've got. That's all I've got.
That's it?
That's pretty much all I've written for the
should
country
we,
song
should
so far.
We continue with, I just found out on the news that you were leaving.
Yeah.
I don't love you
Do you
leaving
believe
at all.
That, by the way? I mean, again, no. what you no. believe. Listen, you have a pack of liars who apparently have a relationship where they all lie to one another on a pretty regular basis. It almost would be more newsy if somebody told the truth in all of this.
What's fascinating to me, and I think that's something that's been lost in a lot of these political discussions over the year. I mean, I can even use examples from Barack Obama. Either he's a Muslim or he likes the radical preacher, okay? Because you can't be of both religions, all right? So pick one.
Good point.
Critical thinking.
I never even thought of that
right?
before. I'm like, you're going to have to pick one of the sides of the
yeah,
fence here.
Yeah, but those two things can't exist at the same time. What also cannot exist at the same time is President Trump not loving that she's leaving.
I'm not loving that you're leaving.
And then calling her lowlife. Yes, the president tweeting
well,
this
now
morning.
Now she's a lowlife.
Either you don't love her leaving or
President Trump is lashing out in very personal terms against his former aide and loyalist, Omarosa Manigault Newman, calling her, quote, wacky Omarosa. He tweeted, people in the White House hated her. She was vicious but not smart, nasty to people, and would constantly miss meetings at work.
Let's assume all of that is true.
Okay.
Who hired her? Hold on. Who hired her? Not once. Not twice. But three separate times. Because she's been fired four times.
There was also a report that...
Who hired her?
She was...
That's all. I don't know.
She was approached after the firing at the White House.
She has a copy of the non-disclosure agreement. Chuck Todd... Yesterday on Meet the Press said he read it. She produced the document. They didn't put it up on the screen. I don't know if there's a legal reason behind it, but they highlighted some parts of it in which she was going to have some sort of a role and she would be paid
in the campaign.
In the campaign,
right? Okay.
An outreach role, and she would be paid $15,000. Was it a month or a year? I can't remember whatever it was. There was a dollar figure that went with it, and she took that as her impression. As they were trying to buy off her silence.
Yeah, she said that it would have prevented her, this non-disclosure agreement, from demeaning or disparaging Trump, Vice President Pence, the campaign, their
Anybody.
Families, or their businesses. Right. So, in essence, though, that would be hiring her for another job, right?
Just so you could fire her again. Who keeps hiring her? I'm seriously. Anybody know? Who keeps hiring Omarosa and then firing her? I'm going to dig into it. I'll tell you what, Pamela, I'll try to get to the bottom of that.
I just...
Might be one of the reasons why you think we're going to heck in a handbasket.
Probably.
You know, the lying liars and the lies they tell. We'll dig into that. Pamela, Restoring Your Faith in Humanity, coming up next on Arizona's News Station.
Get some perspective. Bruce St. James and Pamela Hughes. KTAR News on 92.3 FM.
Well, Saturday night, it was a weird story and a weird scene in Seattle. As a member of the a service agent, a ground service agent with Horizon Air, a man identified as Richard Russell, managed to get inside a 76-passenger Bombardier Q400 turboprop plane.
I have no idea how big that is.
76 passengers is a decent-sized regional jet. That would still be probably two and two seats instead of three and three. Kind of a long, skinny plane. And a turboprop, not jet. So it has a propeller on it. Climbed in the plane, taxied out to the end of the runway, and managed to take off.
Can you just do that? I mean, he had to have some sort of experience,
right? I didn't think you could. But no, he says he'd never flown a plane in his life. So there's back and forth with air traffic control. Once they figured out we're missing a plane and somebody just took off and didn't have clearance to do so. He said he'd played video games before.
Oh, good night.
I'm not kidding you. He was he described himself as having some mental issues.
Okay, so when you say that, we actually have the audio from him talking to traffic control. They record all of this, and now some of that audio has been released. Where this is the guy who stole the plane, crashed it, and died. Take a listen.
I got a lot of people that care about me, and it's going to disappoint them to hear that I did this. I would like to apologize to each and every one of them. Just a broken guy, got a few screws loose, I guess. Never really knew it until now.
What an interesting time to find out. It leads to, and I think a lot of people, rightfully so, in this day and age where we have fundamentally changed airline travel for you, the passenger. Your experience with the TSA and how many ounces of liquids and pat downs and yada,
Taking my shoes off.
Okay, all these things that we find out that apparently it's not nearly as hard as you think for an airport employee who has the badge and can go through speedy and can swipe this and doesn't need a gun, doesn't need a knife, doesn't need an explosive. But can still crawl into an empty passenger plane and manage to take it off and fly it around.
Hey, pilot guy, can this thing do a backflip, you think? I think I'm going to try to do a barrel roll. And if that goes good, I'll just go nose down and call it a night.
He said pilot guy.
He was speaking to a pilot of that aircraft that they brought in an attempt to help him. Here's what I think they were trying. They were trying to keep him away from
populated areas.
So he was out flying over the sound, over the water, and over some of these less inhabited islands. They were having a conversation about, you know, can you see, you know, you see where the horizon is, you know, here's how you operate the plane. So they were trying to say, do you have the basic information? And they kept telling him kind of turn him. They were trying to get him away from downtown Seattle.
Yeah, because that would have been horrific if that would have crashed into a populated area. It didn't. It crashed on one of the islands. That man lost his life. And it has a lot in the aviation security going, how did this happen? And more importantly, what do we do to prevent it from happening again?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a solid argument to be made when you're looking at those types of instances. I don't know what the solution is. How many times have you gotten on an airplane and peeked out the window and you see all kinds of people walking around and people that work at the airport, people that work for the airlines? Their access to planes appears to be relatively easy. It might be one of the reasons why you think we're going to heck in a handbasket. Pamela says she can restore your faith in humanity.
And to do so today, we're going to go to Pennsylvania and we're going to meet a group of friends that are giving back to the community one meal at a time. We've kind of heard these stories before. You know, they pack up these Ziploc bags, throw in some water, a little tuna, some sanitary wipes to keep them clean. And, you know, they hope that it makes a lasting impact on the homeless community, saying it not only fills their stomachs, but it fills their hearts. It fills their soul. It gives them hope for another day. Great story. We've heard it before. Hope we continue to hear it. But the man behind this mission knows that he isn't the typical image of charity. All in all, he says, I see people clutching purses when they walk by. This man, Justin, started out with a Feed the Need challenge to push past appearances and meet people exactly where they were. He said, you know, they may be living on the side of the highway or under a bridge. They're not trash. And so he wanted to make them feel important and give back. He says that, he's never endured homelessness, but he has felt invisible. He's got tattoos on his face, piercing, things of that like. And so he started this company. It's called the Foul Mouth Trucker. It's a Christian-based organization and it distributes these bags in the Philadelphia kind of area. He says, yeah, you know, we may be out there cursing a little bit, but at the end of the day, you will associate us with love, charity, hope, and faith. He named it the Foul Mouth Trucker to raise curiosity and to show that what fills these 150 bags is clearly more than what meets the eye.
Are all truckers foul-mouthed? Isn't that like a redundant phrase? I kid because I love. I'm going to be trucking later this week. I'm looking forward to it. Pamela, thank you very much. Restoring faith in humanity. We look through the double pane bulletproof glass at DJ Tommy Two Tone, super producer Stevie Z and Bob McClay sticking around to deliver all the news, traffic, weather, and information you need.